Man, it is awesome to see you today. Man, I don't know if it's the caffeine, the lack of sleep. I got home yesterday evening from a couple of flights home from Israel, but we took 30, brought 30 home, so we're doing all right, right? Yeah, and those who went, man, what an amazing experience. I think I'm just kind of on this, like, you know, there's just kind of this high of being able to walk in these places where Jesus walked. And, you know, the second time for me, I learned so much. And just to be in that place and to absorb all of that. And while it's just a place, it's a special place when you know that you're by a place where Jesus just may have joined into stomping some grapes to make some wine, or where you walked on the path where Jesus carried a cross for you and me. It's just amazing. And a week ago today, there was a bunch of us, I think we got a picture, a bunch of us that were baptized in the Jordan River, which was amazing. Just such an amazing thing. And I believe one of the other cool, fun things that we got to do, oh, yep, there's a new couple in our church family. We actually had a wedding while we were there. So will Mr. and Mrs. Brian and Kelly Patrick just stand up? I don't mean to embarrass them. It was awesome. And so if I just seem, I don't know, either giddy or punchy, I don't know, then just we'll roll with it today. It's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem right now, so I don't know. But man, yeah, what an amazing, amazing opportunity. But over the last 7 weeks, we have been diving in and looking at seven statements, these I am statements that Jesus made, helping us to get to know him better. Because as we read through Scripture, we see all of these things. You know, if we're reading the New Testament, we see all these things that Jesus did. And I don't know about you, but we're blown away by the miracles and the teaching and all of these things. And then to have the opportunity to go there and see. I know Devin showed you the picture last week. I mean, we were standing in this place, you know, where we know Jesus lived and grew up, and in a replica of the synagogue where he might have taught, things like that. And you're just like, wow, and you're just trying to take it all in. But it's not just about what Jesus did. It's about who he is that is so important to us. Because who he is so incredibly powerful. And what he did flows out of who he is. And so over the last 7 weeks, we have been reading through these incredible, impacting I am statements where Jesus is saying, this is who I am. And every time he says, this is who I am, it has an impact for us. Like in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Well, what's that bread for? If not to consume, right? If not to ingest, if not, and we don't want to just ingest, we want to digest all of his word and who he is so that he can be living in us. In John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Anybody get lost every once in a while? We even had a couple men admit it. Impressive, impressive. You're walking with the Lord. No, I just, we're walking, I gotta tell you, one of the cool things, I hope you all get to go there sometime. You're walking in the old city of Jerusalem, man, and these little alleyways and corridors and everything, and it's so easy to find yourself just like mixed up and lost, like where do we go from here? But you're also just so amazed by everything around you, you actually don't even care. You're just like, wow, this is, but Jesus came to be the light when we are lost and to give us direction. See, he's not just the light so that he shines. He's the light so that he can guide our paths, because his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And then we looked at John 10 where he says, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. We got to see some of the shepherds in the fields. We got to see the hills in Bethlehem where the shepherds would have been, you know, out in the fields by night, giving watch over their flocks by night and all that. It was just like, and the stories just like are rattling through our head. But he's the shepherd, he's the gate, because he wants to be our provider. He wants to be the one who provides safety for us. Because isn't that something we're all seeking for? We're all looking to have safety in our lives. And Jesus is the only real provider. He's the only one that can truly give us the kind of safety that we're truly looking for. And then in John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean, every once in a while, do you ever feel like there's just pieces of your life that are just kind of like, you know, they're just kind of dead? They need life, you need some CPR, basically. Jesus is the one that can resurrect the hard things, the dead things in life, and he can breathe life into those things. And he is this resurrection, and we have the hope of eternity, hope of life beyond this life because he is the resurrection and life. And then last week, Pastor Devin, he shared from John 14 how Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And simply put, he is the only way. He is the only way to truly have life, to live life the way that it was meant to be lived. He is the source of truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is the source of truth. Every truth that there is, he is the source of it. And he gives meaning, direction, and passion for life. If your life is passionless, then I would say, man, you are just not connected to the source of Jesus Christ. And that you need to get connected to him. For those of us who've lost our way, who are in need of truth, who have this aching feeling that there's more to life than this life that you think you're living now, then hear this. Hear Jesus say, welcome home. I am the one that you've been looking for. And that's what Jesus wants to tell us today. And today we're going to dive into the last of these statements. We're in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, before I read this for us, I want to give us a little bit of context. John chapter 15 is this body of teaching. Jesus is, within 24 hours of saying this, Jesus will be arrested, he will be flogged, he will be beaten, he will be crucified, he will be killed, placed in a tomb. And so this is Jesus' last opportunity. This is his last real teaching time with his apostles. He's got them together in this room. He just instituted the Last Supper. Judas just slipped out the door to go and to do the work of betraying Jesus. And Jesus is sitting there with these other disciples, and we hear him say these words in John 15, starting in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, and now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, then you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Do you want to have complete joy this morning? If so, then listen to his words. Listen to his invitation. Right after this, Jesus makes this statement that we all know and that we all give a nod to, where he tells us this in the verses just preceding in John 15:12, where he says, this command I give you, to love one another. Love each other as I have loved you. And we all go, yeah, that's right. But how? I mean, how do we do this? I mean, look around the world. How do we live that out? Because it's not always easy, is it, to love one another? I mean, loving one another, love is not easy. It's wonderful, but it's not easy. Just ask my wife. I love her. Man, I love her like, man, and there are days where I just keep going like, man, I'm just amazed that I love her more. I look at these pictures of us when we got married, and we were young, we were in love, we were way young, man, it was crazy. And I look at those pictures, and I'm like, man, I love her more. I love her more today than I did then and that I did, you know, last week, and I just keep growing. But you know what it takes? It takes work. It takes work, especially a lot of work on her part. Because you know why? Because there are times when I get selfish. I say things. I say things that if I was like a rational man, I would never let them come out of my mouth. But I do, and then she forgives me, or she gets upset with me, and then we have these issues that we work through. And love is just messy sometimes, isn't it? But man, is it worth it? And we need help. And Jesus says this. He basically says, I'm here to help. I'm not just going to tell you to do this. I'm going to show you how to do this. And that's what Jesus tells us in these verses today when he's talking about the vine and the branches. You see, he says this in the first verse. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Right? And when Jesus says, I am the true vine, this would have really caught the attention of the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish religious leaders. The reason is because in the Old Testament, oftentimes Israel is talked about in terms of them being a vine, right? But every single time in the Old Testament that Israel is called the vine, it's in a negative statement. Because Israel was a vine that did not produce good fruit. And every one of the prophets that comes along and says, oh, you know, Israel, you're like this vine. It's like, it's a negative because they're saying, but because you're not producing fruit, that punishment is coming. That God's going to do something because of your lack of ability to produce the fruit, because you're not staying connected, because you're going off and worshiping other gods and doing all these other things. And so you're not a good vine. And so when Jesus comes along and he says, I am the true vine. Not just a vine, not just another vine. I am the true vine. He's basically coming along, and what Jesus is saying is this. I have come to be and to do what you are not able to do on your own. I have come to show you what it looks like to bear fruit. And he says, and our Heavenly Father is the gardener, or literally in the original language, he's the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the one who's responsible for caring for the vines. I mean, and what is the vine dresser's ultimate goal? What's the vine dresser, if you think about it, what is his ultimate goal as he cares for these grapevines? Yeah, so they have great grapes, right? So that either on the table you've got grapes that are tasty, or what in Jesus' time, it was so that you would have great grapes so that you could make great wine, right? And so And that's what the vine dresser is all about. He's about taking care of the vines so that the product, the end result, will be great grapes that we will bear fruit and have great wine. Now, there's three things that happen because Jesus is the vine and our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. So I want to walk through those today. The first is this. If Jesus is the vine and the Heavenly Father is the vine dresser, the first thing is that we will bear fruit, that we're supposed to bear fruit. He says in verses 1 through 3 again, I am the vine, the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that we will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And then if you jump down to verse 8, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Healthy things produce. I mean, we celebrated graduates today, right? Now, I've been to a lot of graduation ceremonies in my day, okay? And one of the things that we always say at graduation ceremonies is this. We are so excited that these people have learned something, they've grown, right? They are learning so that they can be productive, right? so that they can be productive members of society. We don't want, I mean, nobody goes, woo, they graduated, they're done, they can just be lazy bums now. Right? Nobody says that. You continue to learn and grow so that you can be productive. Healthy things are productive. I mean, the goal of the Christian life, the goal of being a disciple of Jesus, according to these verses, is to bear fruit. It is to God's glory that we bear fruit in our lives. And what does bearing fruit look like? What does this fruit look like? I mean, some of us would say, oh, you know, being fruitful means like you're being productive, you know, you're paying the bills, you know, you've got a nice house, you got a good family, all these things are happening, you've got your health, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that the fruit that we're supposed to bear, the fruit that's supposed to come out of our lives, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against these, there's no law. Now, has anybody got that perfected yet? Nobody? Yeah. Does anyone need a little work on that? Yeah? See, the problem is that most of us try to bear this fruit by our own strength. You know how most of us attempt this? Most of us just try harder, right? I mean, we look at the list and we go, oh man, you know, like love, maybe I think I kind of, yeah, I don't know, maybe I got that. And then we get to patience, right? All of us, we've all heard, like, don't pray for it, whatever you do, right? Don't pray for patience, right? But some of us look at things like patience and we go, oh yeah, I need more of that. And so what do? We try to act more patient. And let me tell you this, you can't do it. How many of you know that's true? Yeah. See, that's not how this works. It doesn't work. It doesn't tell us in here, hey, you have to produce the fruit, so you just have to just work harder at it. That's not how this works. The mistake that we make is that we'll, again, identify some of these things and then we see them as separate things. Did you notice in there that it's fruit singular, not fruits? They're not the fruits, they're the fruit of the Spirit, right? And so all of these things come together. And so we can't produce them just by trying harder. We need the Holy Spirit. Fruit is always a byproduct of connection and intimacy. The more connected we are and the more intimate our relationship with Christ, the greater the production of the fruit in our lives. Because fruit is always a byproduct of connection and intimacy. I mean, this is how babies happen. I'm not going to explain the whole thing. I think you guys get the idea, right? But with intimacy, there's always production. I mean, and think about this. If you're thinking like, wow, I need more love, I need more joy, I need more peace, I need more, you know, for some, how would you like more peace in your life today? Okay? Here's what I've discovered in my own life. The harder I try to work at peace, the less I have. The harder I try to work at peacefulness, I just get more and more anxious. Why? Because I can't do this. I don't have it in me to just produce peace. There's only one way to get it, and that's through intimacy with Christ. It's through really knowing him and allowing him to not just give me peace, but to be my peace. And I got to tell you, I continue to work at that because I can get myself anxious really easy. I can go, man, and I want to have peace, so I'm like, I got to work at this, I got to work at this. And it just seems like it just builds up, but when I find peace, it's when I just get time with the Lord. If I'm feeling anxious, I've come to this place in my life where I realize this. When I'm anxious, it is a direct sign that I am not spending adequate time alone with the Lord. And even if I've checked out, you know, okay, I read my Bible this morning. Why isn't it? It's just, you know why? Because usually it was like I was stressed and like, I gotta get my reading done today, right? And then it seems like it just adds more stress. But when I just spend time, when I just spend time with him, man, it's like this peace can just overwhelm me. You see, last week I was sitting last week in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the place where Jesus prayed. And I was struck once again by the passage of Scripture in Luke that says, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane as he usually did. I mean, if there was anyone ever that you could say, you know, really had this great relationship with God and didn't need to do all these different things, it would be Jesus, right? But Jesus regularly went to the garden and prayed. He regularly went out early in the morning and spent time with the Lord. And so it struck me again, like the reason that Jesus did what he did, was who he was because of the connection that he had with the Father. That he sat, I mean, even the night before he gave his life for us, he's in that garden praying to the Heavenly Father. Why? Because it was what he usually did. How is your intimacy with Christ? If you want your life to be productive in all the right ways, then you've got to spend time being connected to him. Now, where's your intimacy with God's people? The church. I mean, here's what I've come to know also. Productive kingdom work almost never happens when I'm by myself. Now, I need to be connected to the Lord, and I need to work on that. But when it comes to doing the work of the kingdom, it almost never happens when I'm just alone. Now, can God do some things with me? Yeah, but the good stuff, the great things happen when I'm connected not only with the Lord, but with his people. And when we combine together and we use our gifts, then God does amazing things for his kingdom and for his glory. And so we don't only need intimacy with him, we need intimacy and connection with God's people. And then how about our connection with the lost? People who are outside of relationship with him. See, one of the things that I've noticed is most of my relationships are with people who are already believers. And if I want to truly bear fruit in the way that it's bringing people to the Lord, then I've got to make connection with other people. And I've got to learn to have relationships with them as well. Because Jesus, as Pastor Devin shared last week, Jesus modeled this. He modeled connection and caring for the people who are outside of relationship with Jesus. He modeled caring for the downtrodden, the marginalized, the people who did not have a relationship with God and whose lives were suffering as a result of it. And he calls us to stay connected to him and his people so that we can connect others to him. And that's what bearing fruit looks like. So the second thing is, not only do we bear fruit, but if because he is the vine and because our Heavenly Father is the gardener, we need to remain in him. Remain in him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches if you remain in me. And if I'm studying this, I'm circling if. Okay? A lot of us circle like remain in. If is a big word here. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I want to read that in the context. He says, starting in verse 4, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, if you remain in me. And I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The word remain in here, in some of your translations, is the word abide. And abide, it's used 10 times in this chapter. And it means to have a full connection to, or an intimate connection to. And Jesus says, look, you need to have this connection to me. Not just kind of know that he's out there somewhere, but you need to have a connection to him. Because he says, if you're not connected to me, you can do nothing. I mean, when I read that, I mean, he says, apart from him, you can do nothing, right? And I start thinking to myself, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I'm not all that bad. Like, I can do something, right? I can do something. Jesus makes it very clear in this passage that apart from him, I can't do anything. I can't do anything productive. I can't do anything unless I stay connected to him. By my own strength, I'm not able. I'm not even able to survive. In fact, so I have a branch this morning. And so I got this great branch right here. And now, this great branch right here, do you think that I can make this branch do anything? If all of us in our combined efforts, if we all just worked hard enough, do you think we can get this branch to do anything? I mean, can it do anything? It really can't. You see, something happened this morning. Something happened this morning. The moment that this branch was severed from the vine, it lost all potential for growth. It lost all potential for fruit bearing. And it started the slow, agonizing process of dying. If it's not connected, it can do nothing. Our ability to produce is in direct correlation to our ability to stay connected to Christ. He is the source of life for us. And so often we treat Jesus, we treat a relationship with Jesus like it's an add-on to our life. Like it's a supplement or something to our life. That's how so many people I know, they treat this relationship with Jesus like it's just an add-on. I mean, you're like, I got my life. But then on Sunday mornings, I go to church. And I have a little bit of time over here where I read my Bible. I have some time when I'm with Christian friends. And we treat it like I've got this life, and then there's some Jesus plugged into it. That is not how this works unless we are completely connected to him. If there's ever any moment that you become disconnected, man, then it starts this process of decay in our lives. And so we've got to make sure that it's not just a, like, okay, this morning I got connected. Do you see how crazy that works for us? Like, oh, if your brain goes to, well, I did this thing this morning. I spent a little time. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's bad. I mean, yeah, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in prayer. You need to do all these things. But if you just say, well, I did this thing this morning and I got connected, that's kind of dangerous. Because it kind of assumes that maybe there was a time right before that time that you were not. And if there's any severing here, then that leads to big trouble. That means, but I see this happening in people's lives all the time. Where they kind of go through the week, they do what they want, they do what they think that, you know, they're supposed to do. And then they come back and go, oh, okay, now I got to go get connected. I'm like, well, what were you before? When you were at work this week, you mean you weren't connected? I mean, when you were talking to your kids this week, you weren't connected then. I mean, this process of staying connected—that's where he says, "Remain, okay? Remain in him. Remain connected." And this is something that we have to work on because we can't just say, "Well, I'm connected here and I'm connected there." Because guess what? This. There's no hope for this thing. Even if I go back right now and try to plug this in. Now, I'm not going to push the analogy too far, but it's difficult, right? And see, the passage goes on and tells us that if you are severed from him, you can't produce anything good. But if you stay connected, your life is productive. And in fact, it guarantees that you are. It says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. He says, if you stay connected, you will bear much fruit. So if you want your decisions to be better, your relationships to be stronger, your marriage to be healthier, your home to be happier, if you want your work to be more fulfilling and your sleep to be more peaceful, if you want to have direction and purpose in your life, then just don't determine to work harder at those things. Commit to staying connected to Jesus. That's what we need. And so often it's like, you know, when I have trouble in my marriage, right, when I've been selfish or whatever, I go and I get like a good book. And again, nothing against good books, but I run out and I get a good book so that I can what? Try harder. When what I've realized is this, if things aren't good between me and Brenda, it's probably because what started before is my connection with Jesus wasn't everything it was supposed to be. And so if I really want my marriage to be everything it's supposed to be, I just make sure I stay connected to Jesus. And I encourage Brenda and I make it possible for her to stay connected to you. I do everything in my power to help her do that as well. And then it's his power working through us individually that helps combat the selfishness that started the mess in the first place. And so I have to stay connected to him. And so then there's this third thing that I wish wasn't part of the equation, but it is. You see, not only because Jesus is the vine and the Father is the gardener, that we bear fruit, we have that we remain in him, but the last part is this: you will be pruned. Anybody excited about that? You will be pruned. It says, verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I read this amazing thing just before we left for Jerusalem. It was I watched like a bunch of YouTube videos about trimming grapevines, and I was watching all these things and reading all these articles, and I came upon one that was really, really interesting to me, and it was called Stressing Your Vines. And here's what it said. It said that the process that when you're cutting off, when the vine dresser comes and he starts cutting it back, that oftentimes to the untrained eye, it looks like the gardener is taking way too much stuff off. Have you ever seen what grapevines look like when they're done being trimmed? You're like, oh my gosh, you killed it, right? But what they actually did is they are forcing the vine, and it's literally called stressing the vine, so that it will take all of its energies and push them through, so that the stress that it takes to produce new branches is what causes it to produce better fruit. In fact, I read this interesting along in this article. It said this. It said, if you spoil your vines, okay, if you give them like tons of water, if you give them all kinds of soil amendment and you do all this stuff to them, if you pay too much attention to them and you spoil them, what will happen is your vines will produce lots of leaves and it might even produce big fruit, but they won't taste good. If you just spoil the vines, if you give it everything it kind of wants, then you know, or if you just let it go on its own, then what happens is you get lots of leaves, a few bigger fruits, but they just don't taste good. If you want the best grapes and the best wine, what you have to do is you actually have to stress the vine. You have to make it work at producing fruit. You have to cut it back so that all of its energy is like, it's moving through that vine and it's moving along those branches so that it produces fruit, good fruit. And there was this whole deal about the whole like skin to juice ratio and how it makes it produce better grape juice and so that it produces better wine. But it only happens through difficulty. So if you're thinking to yourself, man, this difficult thing I'm going through right now is punishment, it's not. See, the vine dresser, the gardener, he's not trimming this thing and pruning it back to be mean to it. He's pruning it back. He's causing it stress. Why? So that it produces better quality fruit. And so if you think that it's punishment, it's not. It's God's love for you that says, hey, he's coming along here and he's taking off the things that you don't need or the extra baggage that's going to cause you to not produce the best fruit possible. See, God's love for you and his desire to see you produce causes him to let you go through difficulty and stresses in your life. And the fruit for the upcoming season and even 2 to 3 seasons after that are dependent upon doing a good job of pruning and cutting off the junk that doesn't need to be there. And if you're not growing in your faith, if you're not being changed on a regular basis, then you won't be productive. You see, you have to cut it back because you know where the fruit grows? The fruit grows on the new branches. The fruit grows as it moves through and it causes these new branches to come out, and that's where the fruit gets produced. And so if you're not willing to go through some of that, or if you're just kind of going through the motions, if your faith is just kind of, you're just doing the same thing you've always done, and you're not pushing yourself to grow, if you're not sprouting out new branches, then guess what? Then you won't be productive. If you've been connected to Jesus for a long time, see, here's the other thing I learned. There are certain branches, so there's the big old trunk of the vine, right? And then the vine goes out on the branches, or the vine goes out and on, usually on a trellis or something. And then what you do is you cut it back to where the places are where it didn't produce before. But then there's some of the branches that where there was good production, and you leave those branches on. Why? Because they support the new growth. They support where the new growth is going to happen, and they'll bear a lot of fruit. But if you have a branch that's going out and it didn't produce fruit out there before, you cut it back even further. And so if you follow this, what it's telling me is, if you've been a believer for a long time and you're not supporting growth, or you're not supporting new growth, that Jesus is going to go, well, what are you doing? What you're doing is you are robbing the vine from its ability to produce over here. And so he cuts it back. And then it says, and he tosses them into the pile, and eventually they're burned up. Now, there's a whole nother sermon in that, but we're not going there today. In John 15, starting in verse 8, it says this. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, disciples bear fruit. And he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Even though you're getting pruned back, he's loving you. He's loving you. Now he says, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I remain in the Father, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy, fruit, right, may be in you and your joy may be complete. The good news is this morning, that he's still working on you and he's still working on me. And he's coming and he's cutting off here and he's cutting off there. And that's not always comfortable, but it's always good. And the end result is that I'm going to produce better for the kingdom. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, he wants you to be productive. But if you're going to be productive, it's not because you're just going to work harder at it. It's because you're going to stay better connected. So this morning, he is working to produce the best in you. The question is will you stay connected to him? Will you stay in his word? Will you stay like Jesus did, continually in prayer? Will you allow him to impact you and work through you? Because Jesus, he is not a supplement to your life. He is the source of your life, and he is the source of the production in your life. And if you want your life to produce, then you've got to stay connected to him. You see, Jesus came, and he gave his life so that we could connect to the Father. And in just a minute, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It reminds us the lengths to which God would go to make sure that we could be connected to him. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, man, you know, I need that connection, then, man, we would love to talk to you about what it looks like, what it means to connect to him. Maybe this morning is that you're convicted that, you know what, I'm not staying connected. Like I'm trying to come, you know, I come on Sundays, but then I go through my week and I'm kind of losing connection. Well, maybe this morning you just need to ask the Lord to help you in those efforts to stay connected. And stop trying to do this by your own strength. Because it's only through his power working in us that we're able to fully remain connected and to fully produce fruit and produce the best fruit possible. And so this morning, as you take that communion, that bread that represents Jesus' broken body and the cup that represents his shed blood, remember the sacrifice that he made so that you could have a connection with the Father. And commit to connecting and remaining connected to him. Because Jesus is saying to us this morning, all that you want to be, all that you desire in your life, he is the source. The great I am is the one who makes it all possible. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Father, that in you, the bread of life, that in you, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, that you are the good shepherd and you want what is good for us. And so, Father, help us in our quest and our desire and our hope to stay connected to you, Father, and help us to realize that Lord, it's not just by working harder. It's just by staying connected with you. And so, Father, we come and we lay our lives before you. And Father, we ask you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to help us connect with you in a powerful way. And Father, we want your source of life to flow through us. Father, so that we can bear the kind of fruit that you desire for us to bear, and so that we can bring others into a relationship with you. We're thankful, Father. Thankful, Father, even when you prune us back. When, Father, you take those things out of our lives that don't need to be there, that mess up our relationship with you. And so, Father, we openly say, Father, prune away. Father, we say, Father, just come, Lord, and rid our lives of the things that will rob us of our connection with you. Father, we're so thankful that you loved us enough to send your Son to die on a cross, to forgive our sins, and to make it possible for our lives to be connected to you. We love you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.